Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. We are going to be airing this the last week of March, which will be Monday the 24th, and we'll finish. We're actually going to finish the series this week.
It's been a great series, though, right?
Yeah, we've had lots of good feedback of, you know, just people continuing to go deeper and understand really that God's will is very specific, and it has to be based on what I hear and process and come to unity about, and know that God will guide me if I have a heart to be guided. And our encouragement to everybody is don't, what I call, segment the things that you have God reveal to you. And that, what I mean by that is that there's a tendency that, well, I got a few big things.
Right.
You know, help me with that. And a lot of times it's based on what they call whatever happens, happens. I'm praying, well, I got an issue. Help me, you know, make that decision or help me choose the right thing. I hope I do. And then they look at, and they actually pray, if I'm not choosing the right way or I'm not going the right way, would you please block it?
Right.
And so we're trying to say, in essence, I can't rely on God speaking to me. I've got to just look at what happens. And if I do, I drift into what's called Christian fatalism. Whatever happens, happens. And I guess that's God's will. But again, God says, well, be careful with that, that you are assuming certain things, by the way, that isn't really true. Because if you have a heart to hear, how about if I just tell you the answer? Which
step
is what we're trying,
step by step,
we're trying to do. You know? And we got, you know, we got great examples, you know, in scripture. Think of the Israelites that crossed the Red Sea miraculously. It says, my promise, my will is to take you to the promised land across the Jordan. There's an enemy there. I'll defeat the enemy and you'll occupy it. And it'll be a land of milk and honey and everything will be great. And you'll be at peace. The Israelis said, we're not willing to go. It's too dangerous. We don't believe you. And we're not going to go. And see, what God didn't do is say, well, I guess I'll just force you to go. Or let me push you in a different direction. They said, well, we're not willing to go any further. And God says, well, okay. Then, and matter of fact, he says this, this is in Hebrews 3:15-19. He says, they could not enter the promised land because of their unbelief. And the word unbelief there is refusal to be persuaded what God had to say was true. So they actually, even though he said, this is my will, they refused it. And he said, because you're not willing to allow me to take you there and help you see the truth of that, then you've thwarted my will, and I'll let you wander around for 40 years, by the way, in the desert, in a miserable place, never got any more promises. God did take care of them, you know, to you know, his, because of his love, but they never got to the promised land. They all died outside of God's will. Another is, you know, Abraham and Sarah. They had heard, they understood, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have an offspring, and it's going to be the building up of a nation, and the world will be blessed through that. Well, it wasn't happening fast enough for them. And they're starting to get older where they're concerned, maybe physically we're not able to do this. So, hey, why don't we take Hagar, have a baby with her, and that'll be the son of promise. Now, they decided that. What's the mistake that they made?
They were assuming they needed to make it happen, really. They weren't asking God, what do you have? What's the next step? What do we need to do?
So they didn't go to God and think of, on God's perspective, because he reiterated this after they had the baby, you made a mistake. And this is not the son of promise. Matter of fact, you have to cast him out because I'm still going to deliver to you a baby that's going to be yours. That's the son of promise.
Right.
Okay. Now, did God prevent them from making a mistake?
No.
See, now God knew it because he reiterated it, but he didn't. Okay, I'm going to force you not to do this because you're making a mistake. It's all about, as you seek God's will, it's all about our heart. Do we want to know God's will?
Right.
And do we get confirmation about God's will, even when, by the way, we'll see, you know, even today, it's okay if there's some fuzziness to that, but it's you got to pursue it. Had they gone to God and said, now you promised a son, but we're not having a son, we're getting older, should we? And God would have said, no, I want you to trust me. I want you to believe me. I'm going to deliver to you a son. Do not do this on your own.
Right.
And they had hearts to follow God. They just made that mistake. But it showed, as we pursue God's will, be careful that, oh, if I'm making a mistake, God will prevent it. Nope. It's, do I have a heart to follow? And following is, I got to receive with specificity his will for me. And what I don't do is say, I'll give you the big ones and I'll take everything else. See, he says, no, my whole life, Jesus said, I did nothing except what I was led by the Father to go do and be part of all the time. See, it wasn't, I did a few big things, but most of the stuff I did on my own. He said, no, I want you to live the way I live. And by the way, why? Because I put myself within you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's job is to communicate to you. And I've given you the things we've talked about with spouse and unity and inner circle. And he said, keep building that and assist each other. Mm-hmm. And discerning and receiving God's will. Okay, we're going to look at a story that illustrates this pretty well. So this is about David, 1 Samuel 22:1-13. Now let me set this up for us, and then we can get into the story. David was part of Saul's inner circle because of what happened with Goliath. And he said, hey, come and join and be part of my team of warriors. He became a leader of pieces of the army. And when David went to battle, he had great victory. And Saul, partly because he lived in fear and he didn't really want to, he didn't go out to battle as much as David. And so David's victories had, let's say, bigger numbers, because they said, David, hey, David, you know, does tens of thousands of defeating the enemy, and Saul only 1,000, you know, and so Saul got jealous. Now, by the way, Saul had already been told by Samuel, because of your disobedience, you're going to be removed as king.
Right.
Okay. So now, interesting enough, even with that prophetic word, even then, see, and it's demonstrated because of God's heart towards Saul, if he would have said, you know, gosh, I'm so sorry. Okay, that's fine. How can I still enjoy the life of God? God would have said, here, let me show you what that looks like. But see, he went the opposite direction. I'm going to prevent anybody from becoming king. And he noticed, uh-oh, you know what? It looks like it's that David guy. So I'm going to kill him. So he chases him out, tries to kill him. And David has to flee. And he's winds up in caves in the area called En Gedi, living by himself because he knows that they're coming after him to kill him. So he's just hiding, you know, from cave to cave to cave. And David gets very discouraged, and because he had had a promise, you're going to be king,
right?
So he says,
and he wasn't seeing that come to fruition yet.
Yeah. And you can read this in Psalm 142. But he says, hey, I thought I was going to be king. and I'm not, I'm here all by myself and I'm sick of this and this is awful and terrible. What happened and how come? And, you know, the heck with it all. And I need help. So David is given help by God. And what he does, he sends his family to give him encouragement. Then he sends, okay, now if you're going to be the king of Israel, I want you to be faithful in small things. And I'm going to give you a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that are the worst of the worst. And I want you to take them in and train them. As your army. So he says, and he's getting encouragement from his family. He trains these people. So he's got an army now, 400, and it gets up to 600. And he was in a nice little town in Moab, but God said, okay, you got to leave, go back into Israel and go back to caves. So at this story, he's got his men. Mm-hmm. He's been training his men. By the way, they've never really had a real battle, but he's been training them, and he's hiding in caves.
Okay.
And he discovers something. And what we're going to do here is second, how did he process God's will? So go ahead and read this story. 1 Samuel 1 to 13.
Okay. Excuse me. Then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, rose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition.
Yeah. So they're hanging out in caves. And, you know, they have observation that a town near them called Keilah is getting attacked by the Philistines. Mm-hmm. So David, you know, goes to the father and says, what do you have to say to me about this? And God says, now remember, think about this, is it had to be Rhema, specific mm-hmm. instruction from God about a town.
Right.
So David couldn't go back to the Old Testament, you know, the Torah, and say, well, could you give me an answer about whether I'm supposed to help Keilah? Mm-hmm. God says, well, I'm going to have to speak a new instruction to you.
Right. A very specific one to your situation.
To your situation, which you have a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. Like, here I am. We see that has something happening. What do you have to say? And God says, go down and save Keilah. So he says, okay. So he goes to his men and says, God says we're supposed to go save Keilah. Now their response was what?
What about the Philistines?
Yeah. I don't think so. They're more powerful than us. Mm-hmm. We've never been to battle. If we do, Saul's going to come after us. We know he's trying to kill us, and he could kill us there. So,
and some legitimate fears, you know, that's a natural response. Right?
Yeah, that we don't think we're ready, and you know, it's not a good idea. We think no, mm-hmm. because. Okay, now David, at that moment, you know, think of what he could have said or could have done, and you can go kind of both ways, and people do go both ways. One. And this is a dangerous place. God said, and we're going. Mm-hmm. And he believed he heard God say.
Right.
But he can demand and say, well, I know, and I'm more spiritual than you. So we're going because God said. He could have gone that direction. The other direction could have been, yeah, you know what? You make a good point. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts are really good. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, you're kind of right. Why don't we not go? And by the way, I want to please you. And since this pleases you, I feel good about that. So I'll just go ahead and please you and agree with you.
Which is man pleasing versus God pleasing.
Yeah,
right?
And we've had some discussions about that, particularly mm-hmm. in the concept of group thinking that. So he could have gone either direction here, but what David did is say, well, I appreciate that you don't agree, mm-hmm. but I know that God will confirm it for us. So let's all go back to God. And he goes back to God and says, you know, my men don't agree. I know you've said this. Could you please confirm for all of us your will? Mm-hmm. And did God say, well, because you're having struggle with this, I'm just not going to tell you. See, God doesn't mind.
Right.
That, and this is particularly true with your spouse, you know, with those around you, where they say, you know what, I'm not so sure about this, mm-hmm. or it doesn't make sense to me, or I'm not there yet. I'd rather, my position is no. And what God says, well, when that happens, it's just, okay, all of you come back and seek my will. I'll show you, I'll tell you, I'll help you understand it so that you come to unity not unity as a negotiation, but unity with the heart of God, that this is my will. And so he goes back to God and, you know, Father, what do you have to say about this? My men are not in agreement. And he speaks to everybody and says, no, it is my will. And by the way, and he adds a piece of information, I will defeat them on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know you're not ready yet, but you're gonna learn this and it's gonna be good. And I'm gonna do, you'll see me do a work, let's go. And so everybody said, we received it. Okay, we got it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. And they go, and they defeat the Philistines in Keilah. Now think about what happened here. They've gone from the caves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you can imagine living in caves where there's not a lot of animals and there's not a lot of food, there's not a lot of water. You know, it's pretty miserable. And they wind up able now to live in Keilah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're welcome there because they saved them.
Yeah. And enjoying life there.
Yeah. Right? And so now they've got beds again and they've got food and they've got games and they have fellowship and they have life back to semi-normal and they're thrilled. Hallelujah. What a great reward,
right,
for being faithful to what God did. And we're enjoying this and they're enjoying us. And we're pleased that we get to live here. Thank you. Now, Saul finds out they're there and says, oh, I can get them there. By the way, Keilah happened to be a town. Think of a town kind of surrounded by mountains. Mm-hmm. And there's only one gate in and out of the town. So if mm-hmm. Saul can get him inside the town,
they're cornered
and he yeah. can defeat him, which is he, by the way, Saul says, and you can see his deception, God has delivered him to me. See, you see,
mm-hmm.
so he's taken a false and making it a truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I followed deception, not pursuing. There's no discussion. God, what are you doing here?
Right.
What do you want me to do?
It's
that I'm going to use religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what God is doing on my behalf. He's going to give me David to go ahead and kill. And so let's go. So they form up a thing. Okay. Now David finds out about this. Saul's coming after him,
mm-hmm.
which he's been aware of it. So he probably has had some ways to find out what moves is Saul making because he's coming after me. Okay. Now at that point, what could David have done? Saul's coming after me. What could he have assumed? What could he have done?
Well, he could have just assumed he's about to be given over, about to be defeated, or that the people of Keilah, because he had rescued their city, that they would stand behind him and fight and that it would be perfectly fine. You know, there are lots of assumptions he could have made.
Yeah,
based on what he saw in the natural, right?
Yeah, because think of when he went after Goliath, he said, God's delivered me from the bear, from the lion. He'll deliver mm-hmm. me from this guy.
Yeah.
Which he did. Okay, well, God, you've delivered me from Goliath. You've delivered me from wild animals. We just defeated the Philistines.
Right.
These guys
have to just love us. So,
and of course, since we really now enjoy this and we want to stay here and we want mm-hmm. you to deliver this to us still, God, just take care of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to just live here and stay here. And you just take care of Saul like you've done everything else. But instead of God, would you?
Right.
Which is my will, even when it seems like it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I could build it on what's happened before. Well, God, you do this and you promised to protect me. So you take care of it. What he did do is said, well, I got a new piece of information. So Father, and this is what it looks like to seek God's will. What do you got to say about this?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, is Saul coming? And if he comes, are the men of Keilah going to hand me over, even though mm-hmm. they shouldn't because I just saved them? They should right. fight for me. Are they going to stand and fight for me? Now, by the way, if you need to know the answer to the first question,
mm-hmm.
God could have said, no, he's not actually coming. Or I'm going to make sure he doesn't even make it there.
And then the second question didn't even matter, right?
Yeah, then it's like, hallelujah, we get to stay. Okay, yep, he's coming. Okay, so he's coming. Now, are the men of Keilah going to hand me over? Yes, they are.
Hmm.
So in other words, we're not supposed to stay here. No, you got to go. So your will, even though we would like to stay here and we're mm-hmm. happy to stay here and you've given us the power to overcome the enemy, including Saul, we got to go. Yes, that's my will. Yeah, but nope, that's my will.
Mm-hmm.
My preservation of you, delivering you in this case, is not to have a battle and you win that battle. I'm asking you to leave so you never have a battle.
Right.
And that's my will. Are you willing to go? And David says, I got it. I understand. I receive it. And what did he do? He asked, now what? Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now what? And that's the key as we pursue God's will, is not to make an assumption of the next. But now that we have some new information, mm-hmm. we can't go backwards and say, well, you did this before, or this is because it makes sense to me, or I like this, or I want this. Would you handle it? It's now, what do you have to say to me? Mm-hmm. And I have a heart to follow, because your will is best and none better. And in this case, it's best and none better. But on the surface, it's not the best, because now I got to go back to the caves.
Right.
But
right.
God says, well, yeah, but we're going to get there. Don't worry.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, even I think this one to me speaks to us so much, especially in America, the way that we are about the idol of comfort and convenience. It can be easy for us to surrender lots of things that aren't related to comfort and convenience. Right. And you think about where they were living and what they had going on. That had to be a hard surrender right there. But just the fact that David's heart was, no, I know God well enough to know, even if he calls me back to the caves, his will truly is best none better. And he was willing, as he came before him, willing to say, whatever you say is what I will do. My yes is on the table.
Right.
You know, and it's a beautiful purity of heart in seeking God, right?
Yeah. And it's always, what do you have to say? Go to unity. God doesn't mind that there's differences of opinion. But as new things happen, which they're gonna, because you're on a path, remember, mm-hmm. Okay, now what? Now what do you have to say? And I'm willing to follow completely, even though it may be different than what I would like to have happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to follow. Okay, now there's a question that comes up. Is that, he said, are the men going to hand me over? Mm-hmm. God said, yes, he is. They never got to that point, because he left.
Right.
So Saul didn't come. The men didn't hand him over. So the question is, well, God, how'd you know that? Mm-hmm. And see, think of the power and the magnificence of God, is that he can play out the future. Mm-hmm. And we would call it, because of our technology, we understand this, called virtual reality. Mm-hmm. It didn't really happen, but he can play it out as if it did.
Right.
And said, if you choose this path and you choose mm-hmm. to stay here, even though I'm telling you not to, they're going to hand you over, because I can see what's going to happen next. Even though it doesn't happen. Why? Because I'm trying to have you understand it never has to happen if you follow what I have to say. Mm. And your choices, which is what, we tend to, how's it going to play out? How's it going to play out? What if? God says, well, if you are disobedient, I know the consequence. Mm-hmm. And I can show you that consequence, or I can tell you that consequence. And by the way, if I was you, David, I wouldn't stay here to find out.
Right.
I'd leave. Why? Because of the power and the beauty of God. So here's what we can trust. God knows the future. Mm-hmm. He knows what the possibilities of the future are and the forks that we might take. And says, well, if you go down that fork, this is going to be not so good. So if I was you, I'd follow me on this path, and mm-hmm. and that's the heart of discerning God's will, is why would I mean, think about this. Why would I not?
Right.
And David could have been disobedient. He would have been defeated, because God said, well, I gave you an instruction and you didn't follow it. And my instruction, even though it doesn't make sense, is to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's not ideal for you, but don't worry, we'll get there. And there's other things happening downstream. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story. It's so beautiful. To illustrate the essence of what it means to follow your will, to seek it, receive it, hear it, process it to unity, never be satisfied with this is the end of it. It's rather just another place on the path. And we're always, particularly with new information, to say, now what? What do you have to say now? What's your will now? What fork in the road do you want me to take now? And we pray that we'll have a heart to that and be led into the very, very best and the protection and the things we don't have to experience because we follow you. And may we receive that and live it and understand it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you for joining us, listeners. This story is such a great example of just walking step by step in surrender with God and seeking his will and trusting that whatever it is truly best. And so it is worth following what he instructs, even when it is against all logic, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So if you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.